You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is Friday, and that makes me a very, very happy camper because it's my day off, and I'm looking forward to this day off, and I hope that you are as well. I want to take just a minute and invite you to our services at Merritt Assembly of God. We have Sunday school, we have at 9:30, we have worship at 10:30. In the coming next couple of days or a few days, we're going to be distributing a bunch of school supplies. We've got some ministry opportunities that have come up, and if you'd like to help us with the funding for any of those ministries, just let us know. We have a heart to minister outside the four walls of the church. And so, there's schools that I think there's about five different schools that we will, be impacting throughout the year with projects of blessing. Most of them on Merritt Island, but not all of them. Are probably our most frequent one will not be on Merritt Island, but, an opportunity to minister arose, and we're going to live out our mission statement, and that is to be a blessing. Our services are not, you know, fancy or anything like that. Our church is located 165 North Grove Street. We just want people to encounter the presence of God, the Word of God, in a transformative way, so that we can be a blessing to the community. If you do visit Merritt Assembly of God, please stick around long enough so that I can introduce myself to you and you can introduce yourself to me. We always love getting to meet some of the listeners of the Refresh radio program, and so we'd love to have you come and be a part of it, whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We would love to have you join us. And so I'll tell you something funny. Here a little over a week ago, I had a friend of mine. He helps us with our sound system whenever he's driving through the area, and he walked in. We tweaked something for our live stream sound to be a little bit louder, and we were set up for our Wednesday night Bible study, and he says, "What's with the King Arthur Round Table going on here, or the Knights of the Round Table?" I don't remember exactly what it was he said, but it's like, okay, I've got to interpret what he's talking about. And we were set up for our Wednesday night Bible study, and I said, "Oh, well, that I produce a study guide. We go through, we give them an opportunity to take notes and things like that." It was just kind of funny, you know, Knights of the Round Table meeting there. If you're interested in a more in-depth Bible study, that's what we do on Wednesday nights so that we can help one another become better followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 today. Romans chapter 12. We're going through just five verses. We got through one sentence yesterday, not even an entire verse. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So yesterday we were talking about let love be without hypocrisy, and that means that our love should be authentic, it should be sincere, it should be genuine, it should be something that we are not putting on a show. We are being authentic and real. And so, and the last thing we talked about on yesterday's program was hypocrites were people who refused to enter the kingdom of God and tried to prevent others from entering in themselves. And that as believers, we should be pursuing authentic inward holiness and be looking to facilitate introducing people to the greatest person in our lives, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of us can agree, let love be without hypocrisy. Okay. If you've ever encountered somebody who said one thing and did another, it probably ended in a less than ideal manner. It was probably not inspiring unless it inspired you to be better and not to follow in those footsteps. I want to continue today with the second sentence in verse number 9 of Romans 12. And I want you to know that this is not a buffet. It's not, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to neglect that. I like this, and so I'm going to eat all of this, but I'm going to neglect this other stuff over here. And so let love be without hypocrisy, I believe, is something that we would all embrace. But the second statement is just as inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that is this: abhor what is evil. Abhor what is evil. That's strong language. And so whenever we love God, we are also going to love the things God loves. We are also going to hate that which God hates. The word here, abhor, means to dislike something so much that you distance yourself from it. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times people abhor or hate, and they misdirect that hate at other people. I want you to understand that Jesus loves people. You know, people say, well, why doesn't he just wipe out the evil humanity right away? Well, aren't you thankful that he didn't do that before you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, people start putting qualifiers in there. Well, I'm not as bad as this, or I'm not as bad as that. And there are varying degrees of evil. There are people who have completely devoted themselves to evil. It is a lifelong pursuit of theirs. But you and I, we need to realize that God loves people, but he hates evil. And so you put distance between yourself and that thing which you hate. So growing up, specifically in my high school years, my college years, I had a paper route, a bicycle paper route, when I was 12. And on Sunday morning, that was about 60 newspapers. It was about 30 newspapers every afternoon. And that wasn't too bad. But there's very few days off. You only got, I think there were 2 days a year that newspapers weren't printed, and you delivered newspapers every day. If you couldn't do it, you had to find someone who would do it. And But when I got to high school and into college, my parents had two paper routes, one morning, one of an evening. It was a rural part of the town we lived in, the city that we lived in. And the route covered 52 miles every morning, every evening. There were two papers. There was the morning paper and there was the evening paper. And later on, they merged and became the same paper. Thousand papers on Sunday morning. That meant we were getting up at 2:30 every Sunday morning. I think we got up at about 3 during the week. And we made no bones about it. We kids abhorred the paper route. It was such an unforgiving job. There was times that we were just exhausted. I'll tell you a funny story. I was helping my parents with a paper out while I was in Bible college, and I was sitting on the platform at church. We stood up for a time of prayer, and while we were praying, I hadn't got to go back to bed. I actually fell asleep while standing in prayer. I woke up to find I was still standing and everybody else had sat down. That was embarrassing. We kids hated that paper route. And so when my kids were growing up, I explained to them there would be no paper routes in our household. By then, technology, the internet had kicked in. Pretty soon, you know, paper routes were not as prevalent or as lucrative as they had been before. But my siblings and I, we put distance between ourselves and the paper. So I don't buy the paper. I keep up on the news, but we put distance. So here is what evil is defined. A lot of times society wants to redefine things. So the Bible talks about there was a time, and it's happened many times. It's the downfall of a society when it happens, whenever they redefine good as evil and that which is evil as good, whenever they get the moral foundations inverted, that's not good. That's not good. And so here is what the word evil means. It means something that is bad, evil, or wicked, and it has to do with morality. It is moral badness or an undesirable condition. It creates harmful or painful results. Okay, so let's just talk about that for just a moment. A very simple rule of thumb is, okay, if I am considering something, is this going to be something that reflects the nature of God, or it contradicts the moral nature of God? Okay, so that's one of the first things. The second thing is this going to be helpful, or is it going to be harmful? Is it going to create pain, or is it going to promote healing or wholeness? Okay, so those very simple guidelines can really help. You know, I was going to the post office the other day, and when I arrived, I slightly misjudged my proximity to the door frame. Not bad. Just enough to scrape my arm. And it's like, that didn't feel good. Looked down there and it's like, man, that hurt a little bit more than what I care for. That same day, I saw my wife, and I said, "Where'd you get the bruise on your shoulder?" And she had done the same thing. She had an interaction with the door jamb at work, or a door at work, or something. And if you've ever experienced pain, you know that you recoil from it. When I was playing baseball as a boy, the coach had put me on third base, and we didn't have the nice pristine playing fields that little leagues have now. If we found a wide open field, and it was relatively smooth, we would, you know, put a baseball field on it, and we played. And that was team baseball. I'm not talking just sandlot baseball. And but they weren't pristine. They weren't fancy. And the coach hit a ground ball to me, and right before it got to where I was, it hit a little pebble, and it ricocheted up and hit me right in the mouth, right underneath the nose. Caused my nose to bleed, or my mouth to bleed, my lip to split open. And he immediately said, "Okay, I'm going to hit you another ground ball." And he says, "I don't want you to lift your glove up. Keep your glove on." And so, okay, I can follow instructions. I literally had my glove sitting on the dirt infield. And right when it got about 12 inches away from me, I automatically recoiled from it, lifted my glove up, and it went right in between my legs. You know why? Because just 2 minutes earlier, when a ball got there, it had popped me in the mouth and it hurt. And I said, "I don't want to go through that again." A lot of people choose to go through life and they're experiencing a lot of painful things, a lot of hurtful things. And physical pain is bad, but spiritual pain is even worse. This word evil is continued defined by the lexicon as lacking spiritual insight. There are so many decisions that people make in life. They make it out of convenience. They make it out of comfort. They make it out of distraction. They make it out of seeking the things of this earth instead of seeking the kingdom of God. And all of the while they're making their decisions, they are completely oblivious to the primary need that we have as human beings, of we are sinners that need a Savior. And Jesus stands willing to save, willing to forgive. He's available, and yet we live as if He doesn't exist. Evil is spiritually blind, if you will. It's blind to the goodness of God that is available, and it's blind to the consequences of living life without Jesus in your life. The lexicon continues, it's spiritual ineptness or worthlessness in character. I don't know about you. I don't want to be that guy. Having been told by people before that I was worthless, only to have a person that I loved dearly to come along and say, "Don't listen to them. You're not worthless. You're priceless." That, by the way, those are similar words, but have vastly different impacts on your emotional well-being. I hope today that you will allow Jesus to restore you to that priceless condition that He has for you. The last thing I'll say about this is it is nature or actions that align with those of Satan. So those are the things that we are told to hate. Okay, so we love without hypocrisy. We put distance between ourselves and anything that is not of God, anything that is going to promote physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual trauma. Those are the things we're looking for, a desirable relationship with God, not an undesirable condition. So this is contrasted with the next statement, and it quite simply says this: cling to that which is good. Many times people will get something out of their life, but they will not fill the void. You need to be intentional. So if you're going to put distance between yourself and that which is undesirable from God's perspective, then you need to have something that you're going to pursue, something that you are going to cling to. That word means to cling or to unite or to join. Okay, so it's something that says, I'm going to love authentically, I'm going to hate evil, and I'm going to cling to the opposite of that. I'm going to cling to that which is good. And so that is that which is morally good, it's generous, and it's kind. I wonder what evangelism would look like if those first three things there in verse number 9 were put on living display in our society on a regular basis. That we would love without hypocrisy, that we'd not be putting on an act, but instead we would be living authentically, knowing that we're striving for perfection, but we haven't arrived yet. We've attained a certain degree, but we keep on pursuing. In fact, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I preached on pressing on to attain the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are some things that you got to leave behind so that you can press on. Well, we're supposed to cling to or unite or join ourselves to that which is good. It doesn't take a very observant person to realize that there is evil in the world. And modern news has found that bad news tends to sell better than good news. But there is a hunger in society for things that will let us know, hey, there is still something good that is out there. And remember the biblical definition of good: there is none good but God. God is good, God is generous, and God is kind. What we as believers are supposed to do is we're supposed to cling to that. I hope that you will be a person that when people think of you, they think of you as to what you're clinging to, and that it's good, not bad. Okay, so I have found through the decades that there were sometimes people who had things in their life that were actually harmful or destructive that was going on. And instead of hating that, they clung to it. They concealed it. They, when given a choice, would choose inauthenticity over having to come to grips. They didn't want to let go of something that was actually devastating their life. So I want to strongly encourage everyone who's listening today to let go of the things that are destroying relationships and your health and your finances, your spiritual life, don't embrace things that destroy your lungs or your liver or your brain cells. Don't cling to things that will destroy your relationship with your spouse or with your kids. It's not worth it. And, you know, when I taught church history, there was a quote, and it said, there is the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. If you open up your eyes and look around, you can see that there are people who are doing this right. They are genuine. They are real. I apologize for any, you know, representation out there that there are people who are supposed to be proclaiming access to God and then living in an obstructive way. Don't want to do that. But I'll say this. For every bad example, there are probably 1,000 good examples of pastors out there. For every bad example of a husband, there are probably 100,000 examples of a good husband. So you and I, let's love without hypocrisy, and let's put into practice the right thing. Either distance ourselves from the things that are trying to destroy us and cling to what is good. Don't get it backwards. Don't get it backwards. There are too many people who are clinging to the things that are destroying them. One of the words that would be used for that would be addiction. A spiritual word would be a stronghold. It creates confusion. It creates chaos. It creates destruction. God wants us to be free from those things that were destroying us, but he also has made available to us the goodness of God, the goodness of the body of Christ, the goodness of the Word of God, the goodness of worship, the goodness of Christian radio. And so I hope today that you will cling to that. Don't just get rid of things from your life. Fill them with the things that God would have you to fill them with in your life. So God bless you. You have a great Friday, a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday morning. If not, we'll be back here Monday on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.